I have a confession.
Here we go.
I saw a headline Sunday night and it said, Commanders take cold showers after game. And I immediately thought, how can they be horny at a time like this?
Wait, hold on. Maybe this speaks to my adolescent brain, but where's that connection?
Wait, you've never heard, like, if you're horny, well, Genuine said if you're horny, jump on it.
Correct.
Ride it, my pony. But yeah. Typically, everyone knows that you can quell any excitement with a cold shower. Why would You've never heard this?
Kind of in a situation where I'm asking myself, why would I want to quell that? Like, what the hell?
Wait, as we say, welcome to the L. Duncan Show with Gary Streisky, who just continues to surprise me. I've known you for a decade, Gary, and I am shocked at your naivete when it comes to really common turn of phrases. Hit the shower. You've never heard, like, take a cold shower?
I've been told.
In reference to being.
I've heard take a cold shower, but it's not been added upon or prefaced. Take a cold shower, Gary.
Are you nervous to say the word? Yeah. You want to say it? Is there? Yeah, that's a great question. Is there a over under on how many times we're allowed to say horny on an ESPN show?
Well, you're going to hit the over, and I'm certainly going to hit the under, but I'm not going to hit the cold shower.
ESPN bet.
Yeah, bet the face of ESPN bet marketing.
This is shocking.
What?
I'm shocked, Gary.
That I've never heard that.
Hit the shower, like take a cold shower means like, you know, no, but take a cold shower has been used to it. This was all to say where my mind immediately went, my sophomoric mind. And I thought, Gary can relate to me. When I thought of that instantly and then realized what happened was just that FedEx Field is a piece of shit.
Yeah, I heard. That I know.
They had no hot water.
That I know.
And so what was already an abysmal, horrific day.
Yeah.
I think Ron Rivera said, this is a low point in this franchise. And then they had to take cold showers. And I was just referring to my brain immediately going towards something very immature and sophomoric. And then you didn't even understand that reference. Wow, Gary. So that's either an incredible flex that he's never had to hit the shower to cool down.
Uh-huh. Or I've just lived in a bubble. I'm a sheltered 36-year-old.
That too. I mean, I was going to say virgin, but bubble.
Confirmed not.
I am feeling excited.
Hey, you better hit a cold shower
okay,
then.
Okay, that's. I'm feeling excited in a sports way.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, Gary, listen.
Talk to me.
Everybody knows that for me, being an Atlanta sports fan, family from Denver, so also adopted the Broncos since birth, it was many years of just sad times for me. And I've talked about it ad nauseum, just what it's been like to be a super winner, super champion, two-time national champion with George and then, of course, the Braves as well.
Soon to be three-time. I'm heavy on that.
People have been coming for my Bulldogs, and I'm watching that game, Tennessee, on Saturday. They score on the first play of the game because that's just how Georgia is. You know, they're like, I like to play with my food.
Yep.
I want the mouse to scratch me a little before I wake
up. Sure, yeah.
They're so hyped up. Dolly Parton is escorted out by Peyton Manning in the most Tennessee-ass moment of all time.
That was
and
super Tennessee.
And she leaves the crowd in rocket top.
Yep. You think she sleeps on her back? The only option.
Stop thinking about that and take a cold shower. And everything is just setting up for this huge Tennessee moment. Alabama last year, where they're going to rip down the goalposts and throw them into the Tennessee River, and then Georgia
not
just mollywop them.
Not happening.
And then the one team that has been giving me so much pain over the course of the last 4 to 5 years, the Broncos.
Hey.
They've been my Voldemort, Gary. I have to just sort of, because you remember when my fandom was at its peak.
Yes.
We were living in Boston.
Yes.
I was in enemy territory.
Super
the Patriots.
Bowl 50. I mean, you.
They
couldn't
were always coming for me.
Couldn't tell you nothing.
And that was my zenith of sports fandom.
You were there. A couple of AFC title games, knocking off the Patriots.
Exercise demons. It felt great. But they have, of course, hit the bottom of late. And so they've just sort of been Voldemort to me. Yeah. He who shall not be named. Like, I just don't mention their name.
Well, you've said them like 10 times.
But now?
Yo, the Broncos ripping off four straight?
Hello?
Come on.
Longest active win streak in the NFL.
Thanks
NBD.
To the Jags losing last week.
Yeah. And also thanks to the defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they got.
Yeah. They spoiled Josh Dobbs,
mm-hmm.
who, by the way, replaced Taylor Swift as the header to the NFL Twitter account.
Really?
Their bio said, "In Dobbs we trust."
The Pastronaut?
They were all in on the Pastronaut.
Y'all better not cut him again because he's playing too well. He's won too many football games to just be passed around.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. I mean, he is the Pastronaut, so kind of asked for it. And I'm feeling pretty good, although
you
I'm still feeling very torn. Three turnovers. We still only win by one against a backup.
But from where the Broncos started, and especially in that division, I think preseason predictions had them, and the Raiders are in that division, and preseason predictions are like, yeah, the Broncos don't have
a trash.
The Broncos don't have a chance, but they've ripped off four straight. And you take a look back at the four wins that they've had, they've put together some good ball games against the Chiefs. How do they beat the Chiefs?
Yeah.
But again, throw out everything when you play a divisional opponent, and then they beat the Bills. Of course, you take care of the Vikings.
Well, they beat the Packers in between there. No way. I know you didn't throw that one in there.
But I just wanted to mention the good teams.
Yeah.
I just was trying to help.
Gloss over.
I was kind of just trying to help you out right there, Elle.
Sure.
Now they're playing 500 ball.
Yeah.
Do you think that, not playing 500 ball. They've won four straight, but they are 500.
Yeah.
You're not thinking like.
What?
Playoffs.
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm just, listen.
Well, I mean, you were riding high on sort of that build up there.
Gary, my expectations have completely changed.
Yes.
I'm not looking for a can we just get a winning season? I'll start there.
Yeah.
I'll start with a winning season, friends.
Okay.
That would be a great start. Haven't had one.
9-8 is going to be tough.
Take a look at the rest of their schedule. The Browns.
That's a dub.
That's winnable.
That's a dub. Even though, hey, watch out. Joe Flacco just signed.
The Texans is a loss.
CJ Stroud playing not
He's
like
playing
the rookie
really good.
Of the year. He's playing like the MVP.
Yeah, he is. I love his attitude to his moxie. He's like, yeah. I don't care if I keep throwing interceptions. He said, Steph Curry just keeps shooting, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Different sport. That's fine.
I love it, though.
When Steph misses, it doesn't go to the other team. That's fine.
Well, if they get the rebound.
Fair, but you expect
it's
that.
It's a loose connection.
Mm-hmm. Then they face the Chargers, winnable. Lions, that's probably a loss. Patriots, super dub.
Oh, gosh.
Chargers again, that's winnable. And then the Raiders, very winnable.
This team might win the division.
They might go to the Super Bowl. Okay, we're not going to actually spend any more time talking about the Broncos.
Sure. Well, I was letting you have your moment. Your name's on the graphic.
Exactly.
Hey, by the way, because everybody knows the Atlanta and the Denver connections, was your life at just like Nirvana when it was Super Bowl 36? Broncos, Falcons, the Dirty Bird.
No, because LA I'm not a Falcons fan.
No, but what I'm saying though is like
it was my two worlds collided.
Your two worlds colliding, and obviously your team won. But you still have to pull for your hometown in a particular kind of way.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm not a turncoat. That's interesting that you would say that, considering you're a Patriots fan and you don't cheer for your hometown Broncos. Isn't that interesting how you just said that and showed your hypocrisy in front of everyone?
Yeah, well, it's a moving scale with me, and I think you know the origin story with why the nail was firmly put into the coffin with the Broncos when I got my first TV job and I applied for a media credential working for the CBS affiliate. And I'm not going to name his name because he still works there, but he basically like wrote me an email and was like, no.
Yeah.
What? You can't turn me down from a credential. I work at CBS. I work an hour north of Denver. Why are you turning me down for a credential?
Yeah.
I was red hot. So that was the nail in the coffin for me.
Journo problems.
Yeah. Like what the hell?
I want my credential.
I could have probably filed some kind of complaint with the which one's the media? FCC?
Oh.
FAA? No.
Did you just say the FAA?
Yeah, the aviation had nothing to do with that. Federal Aviation Administration has nothing to do
with it. Keep throwing letters out, Gary. You'll get there eventually.
I think it's the FCC.
It's for sure the FBI.
Yeah. I should have hit up the CIA. It's like, are they profiling me? Why can't I get in the stadium? Is it because I'm half Polish?
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm just gonna, you know, we're gonna go right to Too Long Didn't Watch.
Okay.
Because
did you look at mine?
I didn't look at yours.
Okay.
But I'm gonna have you start. This, okay, of course, if you don't know, is one of the more polarizing things that we do here on the show. A lot,
really,
of people have a lot of ideas about what this thing should be. Should it just be snatchy punchlines? Should we expound?
Should we play both?
Who knows? We're just going to say words,
yep,
and hope that this time you like it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's a little look at the best highlights from week 11 of the NFL.
Low lights. Boom. The Jets lost 32-6 against the Bills. Zach Wilson was a woeful 7-15 for 81 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. He was pulled in the third quarter. He's non-committal on who will be under center, is Coach Saleh, this Black Friday. Yo, Walmart, y'all got any deals on those quarterbacks? Because the Jets need one.
Dude, Zach Wilson tripped over his own feet.
Yeah, well, he was running backwards.
Running onto the... And?
He was running... And listen, that turf, a turf monster...
Yeah.
Has popped up and bit a lot of folk recently.
His Jets team went 41 straight drives without a touchdown before finally hitting pay dirt. And I know we're all waiting for Aaron Rodgers to come back, but just humor me. I have an idea. While we're waiting... What if we relegate the Jets to MLS, where you can win a lot of games scoring 3 points?
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, we would have to call them goals. But other than that, I think that's the only thing standing in our way.
Why not?
Yeah, and I loved the report last night that Aaron Rodgers plans to be back with the Jets come this Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm,
and then there's no way he's coming.
They're a
back.
Four-win team. Stop.
There's no way he's coming back.
No.
But again, that was a sideline report, so I don't know how much. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Please, no.
I'm kidding.
That was the ire of every sideline reporter.
I'm kidding. That was a believable report. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. The Panthers lost to the Cowboys 33-10. Bryce Young threw a pick six. Maybe it won't be Alphaville's forever young in Carolina. Maybe it's just for now young. Or at least for the next 4 years. No fifth-year option.
When's that rookie year up?
Yeah.
The Seahawks were beating the Rams, and then Geno Smith gets hurt. Who replaces him? Drew Locke. The only thing that's a lock with him is that he's gonna fuck it up. I watched this dude for way too long in Denver. He is Loki, the god of mischief.
Oh.
Only instead of trying to force Thor off the throne, this Loki forces throws downfield. He's the worst.
But he can rap cheesy. Damn it, I was going to say that.
I knew it.
Yeah, but his sideline antics are fire.
God.
This guy he's a lyricist. The Broncos snap Minnesota's five-game heater. The Broncos have won four straight.
Ow.
They're 5-5. Russell Wilson completed passes to seven different receivers, including two to Marvin Mims. Maybe, just maybe, this is why they're hot.
Okay.
I'm hot cause I'm fly. You ain't cause you not. This is why I'm hot.
We're getting distracted.
Yep.
Keep going.
Trevor Lawrence is the first Jags quarterback to run for two and pass for two scores in a game. We were jagging off last week when they lost. We're jagging on now after beating the Titans. But will we be jagging off again next week when they visit CJ Stroud and the Texans?
So I'm supposed to believe that someone who has now at least used the term jagging off 20 times on this show has never heard take a cold shower.
It's just kind of an ongoing bit that I have. It's going to gain traction soon.
The Bears led the Lions by 12 with 4 minutes left in the game, and they lost. The Bears' mascot currently looks like the one in The Revenant, right? Ferocious and intimidating. I'm pretty sure they should change it to the one that has a rainbow on its belly, because that would be about the only reason to care bear.
I used to watch Care Bears on the regular.
It says a lot about you. what I love about this Lions story, we said this weeks ago, I think the Lions are America's team.
Mm-hmm, they are.
I want to do an experiment.
Okay.
I want to prove that if you don't know somebody or like somebody or care about somebody, the things that they say can be incredibly grating. And then once you get to know them, mm-hmm. maybe they become endearing.
Okay.
When Dan Campbell, former Lion, who was there in the lean years, 2008, when they were 0-16,
oof.
He was a tight end on that team. He has seen them at their lowest.
Yeah, he sure has.
He takes over, and he does this press conference that went viral at the time. And it was just, it was cringy. So when I first heard his speech, I thought it was cringy. And in fact, I'm pretty sure I put him on taking the L because I was like, bruh, what are you talking about?
Gosh, you not want to be the main character on taking the L.
I was like, what in the world are you talking about, dude? Like, stop it. Uh-huh. I think that these guys just get so juiced up at the press conference. They don't know what to say. They just, it's a words. I just remember at the time being so annoyed by what he had to say. This is 2 years ago.
Okay.
Now, this is America's team. Now, he is a leader of men. Now, I love Dan Campbell.
I've been loving Dan Campbell.
So now I want to listen to that speech again.
Yes.
To see if it has changed my mind at all.
Okay.
About biting ankles.
Yep.
And kissing kneecaps or whatever he said. Okay, okay. Let's play it.
Okay.
All right. And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap. And we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
Can't stand without kneecaps. He's got a point.
Okay. Upon further review, it's still a little bit back crazy and sort of the plot from The Walking Dead.
Uh-huh.
But experiment. I'm with it. He's right.
You ever been in a fight?
Yes.
I feel like I've been in one fight. I'm 1-0 undefeated. I feel like he was describing an actual fight as opposed to like winning all the time. Like getting knocked down, having to get back up, but on your way up.
So you've been in a fight where you, on the way from getting knocked down, you bit a kneecap? You were like, let me get this kneecap.
Again, undefeated, never lost.
Then
you took two shots, and then
you went for the other kneecap?
What he's describing is like an actual fight, like getting knocked down. And there's no rules in fights, all right? So you got to kick people in the teeth. We're not condoning this kind of information or this kind of technique.
Yeah.
But then when you come back up, you got to take advantage of low ground.
Sure.
So if you have to bite an Achilles, I mean, that's what took out Achilles. Rip the Achilles out, okay? Bite a kneecap. I've watched Hostel, and that scene in my brain has never left. The Achilles scene, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Exactly.
How did we go from Dan Campbell at a press conference to now he's... Well, who is he in Hostel? Is he one of the creepy dudes that paid a bunch of money to like terrorize an American girl? Who's Dan Campbell in Hostel?
I'm just saying he's describing a way to win a fight, which is you gotta, I know it's all about.
You have to lay someone down on a table and use a drill on them?
In war, it's about high ground. But in a fight, it's about low man wins. Okay? And you can't get lower than an Achilles, L. And then subsequently, the kneecap is just a touch north of that. All I'm saying is 2 years ago, when I listened to this, I'm like, this guy is describing how to win an actual fight. I don't know. Like, would I want to get into a fight with Dan Campbell? No. Because, like, generally you think of fighting and it's body shots and getting punched in the face. You don't even worry about below the waistline. This dude is saying that's the one thing he's worrying about. I don't know. I'm with him. Don't try to fight me, though,
in public. The rest of the show could just be Gary trying to talk his way out through and around these parallels he's made that just don't make any sense.
They make perfect sense. They make perfect sense.
Dan Campbell gives really big, like, linebacker energy. He's a tight end.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That guy just wants to do chest
day. Yeah. He kind of reminds me of PC Principal from South Park. You know, like, there's this overall look.
Yeah,
at me right there.
I'm saying upside down triangle. Hell yeah.
All I know is that this team is off to their best start since 1962. They're 8-2. And Adam Schefter had a great tweet just so that we can remember that we are living in history as we're experiencing it.
Yeah.
This is the first time since 1969.
Yep.
take a cold shower. The Lions and Browns each have won 7 of their first 10 games. The last time it happened, the Jets were the defending Super Bowl champs. Bill Belichick was a senior. I mean, he kind of is still a senior.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a senior in high school.
Yeah, different.
And the Apollo 11 landed on the moon, allegedly.
Or did it?
Unreal.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Kosar ain't walking through those doors.
No.
They don't need him to.
No.
Well, maybe the Browns do. Yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I like it because he was counted out early.
Okay.
But it's effectively been a homegrown built roster.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you traded for Jared Goff, but the position players that they've drafted and that they've cultivated, this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is exactly what we want to see. I want to see a Lions team on Thanksgiving.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
It's exciting.
Primetime shine, baby.
It's really good.
It was thin times playing there in the Silver Dome.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we got to watch like Herman Moore and Barry Sanders and stuff go off, but you knew ultimately at the end of 60 minutes they were going to lose.
Yeah. They always looked like they had had the turkey before
now
the
game. At the end of this 60 minutes, you're like, holy smokes, the Lions are going to win the division. They're going to make some noise.
America's team is back.
I love it.
While Dan Campbell is now rectifying himself in my eyes with that press conference, there is someone that chose the sanctity of the pulpit yesterday of the press conference to absolutely lose it. The Chargers, you talk about just wasting the best years of Justin Herbert's life.
And Austin Eckler
and everyone else that's there. The other Bosa. They scored one touchdown on 4 red zone trips on Sunday. They had their opportunities. They had their chances playing the Packers. Keenan Allen dropped 2 passes in the red zone alone. Yep. It was not good.
What goes wrong with a team like that that has had such a high bar for such a long time, relatively speaking?
Yeah.
Like, they were supposed to be not a Super Bowl contender, but
a lot of people would say coaching.
Yes.
They thought they solved that problem last year by going and getting Kellen Moore from the Cowboys to fix their offensive issues. And now Brandon Staley, who is the head coach and calling the defensive plays now, is under fire. Seat getting hotter. And that was never more evident than yesterday when a reporter just asked him a reporter question.
Yep.
Hey, like, it's defensive play calling, man. It ain't great. And what's up with that, dude? And Brandon Staley just lost it.
You can stop asking that question, okay? I'm going to be calling the defenses, okay? So we're clear. So you don't have to ask that again.
You don't have to ask that again. Everything was contentious. Every time someone asked him something, this wasn't on the defense. We dropped passes. He was throwing everybody under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
He threw Keenan Allen under the bus without saying his name. We dropped passes. We didn't do well. We gave up sacks. Everybody sucked except for the part that I call.
And I'm going to continue doing it.
And I just wonder with both teams.
Yeah.
Because you look at the Rams too, man. And they ended up ultimately winning that game on Sunday. But it feels like both Cali teams are just meh.
Yeah.
Right?
We weren't anticipating that. And I'm going through sort of team stats, where they sort of rank. And they're mid-tier with everybody. I don't understand the testiness. It seems like a valid question, Al. They're 4-6. I mean, division-wise, not great.
They give up like the third most yards in the NFL.
Yep,
I mean, their defense is definitely a liability, even if they weren't yesterday, even if it was the drop passes. And Brandon Staley is just a guy who can tell that his seat is uncomfortably hot.
What do you do? What do you do if you're him?
You lose it. On the other end is a guy who's feeling pretty good. I mean, his Giants team racing to the bottom of the NFL standings. They don't have their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's banged up. There's zero expectations. They won yesterday, the Giants.
Talking about Daboll?
Yeah, by beating the Commanders. Yeah, I knew that. And Brian Daboll, the opposite of Brandon Staley, he's feeling good. He's feeling so good that he's out here handing out dad jokes. Someone asked him about his star quarterback, Tommy DeVito.
Yep, 3 touchdowns and like 4 pass attempts.
Yeah,
it's great.
Tommy DeVito of the L. Duncan Show fame. We did highlight the fact he lives with mom and dad.
Which is awesome. Super jealous. Not because he's an NFL quarterback, but because he still gets home-cooked meals.
Mm-hmm. He still gets his cutlets. He still gets his bed made. Creepy. Brian Daboll was asked, how much did you see Tommy DeVito grow in his second start? And this is what he said.
How much do you think he grew today, in your opinion?
I think he's the same height.
I don't mean that, you know.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That's good.
That's not a bad one.
No, I like that.
I have a good dad joke for you. You ready?
Tell me, yes.
What does Too Short use to wash his clothes with? Bleach! It's not bad. That's a legit chuckle. You like that?
No, I like that because you didn't even give me a chance to like answer.
Yeah, no, I didn't want you to guess it.
Okay. Oh, it's not a dad joke. It's just a joke.
Okay.
What's the most important thing about telling a joke? Timing.
It's no wonder the show's already won an Emmy. My kids are at that stage where they keep trying to remember jokes, but they can. They're horrible at it. But there's one that they remember. Where does the sheep get its hair cut?
The Bob.
Shop. Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's cool. I was just using context clues with that one.
Yeah, the Bob shop.
Hey, you know what else your kids remember? Me.
Yeah.
When I pulled up to meet Omar for the Hannah Storm event.
Yeah.
Even X were like, Gary.
Dude.
And I was like, whoa, they remember me.
You want to know something special?
Yes.
Today in the car, we were taking the kids to school, and I was just talking to Omar. I didn't even know that my kids could hear me, telling them the guest list for Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And I said, Gary and Abby are coming. And Eva from the back goes, Gary's coming? And I said, yeah, he's coming, sweetie. And she goes, yay!
Let's go! Let's go!
She's hyped, dude.
Yo, I'm hyped.
She picked you out.
I'm hyped that she's hyped.
I'm hyped.
A lot of expectations, though, when kids, like, when you're a favorite amongst kids.
Yeah, you have to play with them the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uncle Gary. Yep. Luckily, they don't use diapers anymore, so you're in the clear.
No, okay, I'll be good. I'll be good.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Just don't be overconfident. Don't be overconfident like the Lakers fan who is storming the internet right now. Have you seen this?
No.
This is...
Gosh, I've missed everything.
Yeah, well...
Well, I've been in Vegas for a week, so yeah, I do have an excuse.
It's a time succubus,
yes,
is Vegas.
Yes,
and we're going to get into... I want to hear all about Vegas.
Okay. My close personal friend, Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah,
okay,
I saw a picture of you showing Mark Wahlberg a watch.
Yeah,
I was like...
Yeah, yeah, big watch guys, both of us. Different price categories,
I would assume,
that we shop in.
I would assume,
but
yeah,
he did have a $77 Timex watch on, so he's still the everyman from Dorchester.
I like
he's
that.
He's still like the guy from Quincy.
Yeah, Jenny from the block.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a Lakers fan who is going to do the obligatory half court shot.
Yes.
I love these things at games.
I love them too.
This guy in particular. Now, I understand some of you are watching this on YouTube. We love that. And many of you are listening because this is also a podcast. And so we understand we'll have to describe what's happening to you, but just hearing it, I think, is really going to belabor the point here, which is that irrational male confidence.
It exists in us all.
Is, well, maybe just in this guy. Enjoy. Okay, Anthony's getting ready. Anthony is about to take this shot. Anthony runs to take off. This is what he does. Anthony has torn his Achilles. Anthony's stumbling to the ground. He's also holding his back. Now his knee. Which one is it, Anthony? Is it your back or your knee? He is laying on the ground.
Nah, he's lying.
They're going to let him take a shot from the 3-point. No, Anthony cannot even stand.
He's capping.
Now being dragged. He's holding serious. His ankle. Okay, let's give Anthony a pity applause, guys. Anthony has embarrassed himself. I think he tore his Achilles, friends. They're sort of clapping. Anthony's wincing. He's embarrassed. He looks like he's got the bubble guts.
Wait, that actually happened?
Real life.
Okay, because I thought he was like showboating. Ha ha, he. Now I'm going to pop up and hit the... I thought it was... Because, you know, in arena, stunts can go like that.
Sure. Yeah, I hate to tell you guys, but the kiss cam, when the two girls go to kiss and then someone stands up right when they're about to lock lips, that's a stunt.
Wait, what? Hold on. My man needs the $55,000 for medical bills now. Wait.
What's the last time that you were irrationally confident? Like you just knew you could do something and you failed just like Anthony did.
Oh, and I failed. Okay, that opens things up. Okay, yeah, that opens up a lot. I probably have one of those instances maybe in my everyday life.
Okay.
When I'm just like confident about something.
Yeah.
All right, and it just falls through.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't pinpoint one right now.
Oh, okay.
But
so you just walk around so juiced up on moxie and confidence that you don't even notice?
Well, I don't walk around pessimistic. See, I walk around optimistic. So therein lies the issue.
Yeah.
Where if I'm optimistic, but I don't have expectations much for things, which is kind of weird because I walk through life optimistically. This guy can't walk through life at all anymore. He's going to have to hobble.
It's out there. I'm so glad that when I, for about 10 to 15 minutes, wanted to be a singer, that there wasn't real social media like that. Because
wow, you got a really good voice.
No.
Oh, stop. You're being humble.
No, but listen. There's one thing to be like the queen of Shower Records, to sing at karaoke
that's
with your friends.
Good. Shower Records, that's good.
To hang out and sing at your house. When I was 19, wanted to be a singer. So I had a record deal and I had a performance. I was going to be performing at this club in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I had three original songs I'd be performing that I wrote.
What?
We had choreographers.
What were they called, the songs?
One was called You Gotta Go. Horrible.
Really?
One day, if you're lucky, I will play you a few of the songs here on the podcast.
Yes.
They are exactly what you would expect. They are bad.
Now sort of You Gotta Go is what you tell your kids.
You gotta go.
You gotta go potty.
Sure, it's
you
changed.
You gotta go.
Yeah, it's changed a lot, but yeah. So I go to performance, my big night, weeks of rehearsals, dancers, everything. It went so poorly.
What?
That my own family couldn't even lie to me.
No.
Like I was like, how'd it go? And they were like, you are brave. Let me tell you, for any aspiring singers out there, if after you perform, someone says you are brave, you suck.
Okay, but hold on, time out. Was it an acoustic thing? Because, you know, sometimes
those
venues...
I was dancing and performing.
You're just out of breath.
I'm trying to...
You're just out of...
I don't think I ever really practiced singing and dancing. And yes, and by the end, it was like, oh my God, I don't think I can... You have a limited amount of time where you ascend.
Yeah.
And then for a while, you hang out on top. You plateau a little bit, but you're doing your thing. And then eventually, you're going to lose it some, you know?
And that was the, okay, I'm just going to stick to being in a garage band type
situation? Well, yeah, that was when I realized right then, I don't have the skill, ability, want, any of those things to do this, confidence. And I was ruined for life. But the good thing is I narrowed in and decided to become a television broadcaster after that. And it's worked out okay. But if people had access to social media now, I would have never been able to live that down.
Or you could have gone super viral and that could have been your big break.
Okay. Once I play these songs for you, you're going to see.
Are we playing them right now?
No.
Okay. That's a tease.
You just think I just have access to the songs I made when I was 19 years... Actually, it's on my phone.
It's a playlist. It's probably part of your playlist.
You're still on CDs. You just came back from Vegas.
What a time.
Yeah, Formula One. Give me the deets, dude.
It was awesome. I was out there from Monday to Sunday. Of course, the race was 10 p.m. local time Saturday night. It was a night race. And of course, you have to do a big like that with Vegas. The reason that F1 built a permanent paddock there was to have this race over the next 10 years. And the visuals are insane. If you had a chance to take a look at it, whether on the race broadcast or as they were trickling out over the week, the visuals are awesome. The aesthetic was cool. The locals were a little bit fired up because it did pose some traffic issues. But the race itself went off without a hitch. 83 takeovers, which is massive in a Formula One race. So there were 83 different changes of position between these races.
There it is. I was like, and for those of, that are listening that don't know what that means, what is that, Gary?
My F1 audience that's tuning in right now, basically it was an awesome race. Max Verstappen still won, but it was a close race. And obviously it's Vegas. And so they did the race and they did everything, all the shoulder programming, like only Vegas can. So any A-lister that you can think of.
Oh, yeah. I saw Rihanna was there. Yep,
I was there. ASAP Rocky.
What? I'm sorry, what?
So anyway, ASAP Rocky was there. David Beckham was there. Tom Brady, LeBron, like all these. Travis Kelce was supposed to be there, but the Chiefs were like, you're on curfew. You have to come back because we have a game Monday night.
Yeah.
Tonight. On ESPN's family of networks. But it was awesome. Mark Wahlberg was there. Got to play some golf with him. I was working.
Did you drop a... I wondered when I saw the picture. Did you drop a Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch reference?
I didn't drop a Marky Mark. Good. I didn't do that. Because, you know, when you have FaceTime with these celebrities, uh-huh. You know, you don't want to...
You want to play it cool.
You don't want to come from a position of fanhood. And
yeah.
I'm going to tell you this. It might be a little bit of a humble brag, a little bit of a flex, a little bit of a pat on my back. But Mark Wahlberg might have sought me out. From a crowd and was like,
wait, I'm sorry, what?
Good to see you.
He said, I watch you on Snapchat.
Good to see you. I watch you because he's got the 4 a.m. workout club that he does West Coast, which is 7 o'clock East Coast time, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we're on at the gym, at the Wahlberg gym when he's getting in at 4 a.m. Plus, he's a big watch guy and, of course, his Boston roots. And you know, he's a big Red Sox fan. So he knows us from Nesson, from our Boston days. So Mark brought it in. He was like, good to see you, bro. Everything good? I'm like, hell yeah, Mark, everything is good, man. Let me get this picture real quick. It was cool. This is how I knew he was comfortable with me. Because, of course, the jump off point was talking about watches and whatnot, which was cool. He had, again, $77 Timex. But I was like, what's next for you? He goes, oh, let me show you what I just ordered. Pulls out his phone, passcode, doot, 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 right in front of me. I know Mark Wahlberg's passcode. It's, I'm not going to say it. And then he just opens up his album. And you know how it goes when you're around people and they open up their photo.
I always look away.
Me too.
I'm like, I don't want to see.
I automatically seem busy elsewhere.
Yes.
So he opens up his album and I'm like, look at the sphere.
Whoa.
The sphere's so cool. But then he was like, yeah, look at this. And he just opens his and just starts scrolling through all his pictures. And I'm like, you want me to be looking? You know, he's like, yeah, look at this. Boom, boom. And then the scroll is one thing. And then he started going, poof, poof, swiping. Swiping. So he didn't know what was next.
Yeah, he did. He was confident. You know what that is? That is a man.
Confident.
No, that is a man who is married.
Yep.
Has been married for a long time. Yep. Has a whole bunch of kids.
Yep.
Ain't no nasty pictures in them phones. Whenever someone's like, is it okay to swipe? I'm like, do you know my life? Yes. All you're going to see is a bunch of baby pictures. Pictures of me taking like pictures of like we need Cheerios, so like sending that to my husband.
There's a shopping.
There's
list.
Nothing sexy in those phones at all, and I love that about him.
So I think the highlight of that whole interaction was like
getting to look through
seeing
Mark Wahlberg's
phone album.
So your best experience with Mark Wahlberg was being able to creep on all the pictures in his phone, and you didn't want to act like a fan.
Well, because it's what it signifies. It's the representation of what that was, which is
how
like...
How many mental pictures did you take? You're like really like your recall of all the pictures that were in his phone.
Well,
is like
no,
little...
it's just a broad net that I'm casting. What is with that face? I'm trying to share...
Screenshots with his friends, a couple of grocery lists. I saw a text from his agent. I saw him like...
So that's the
how
stuff...
How hard were you
no,
peeping?
No, so that's the stuff that I thought was like, you know, he's a celebrity. People have probably tried to hack his phone all the time.
Sure.
The pictures are one thing. I just thought it was like, you know... movie stuff, like stuff that he signs NDAs for that was going to be in the album. And that was the privileged information that I was privy to. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
He answered a FaceTime when he and I were talking, and it one of his boys was like sitting on the couch, and he was like, no, I got to hit you back, man. Me and Gary chopping it up. Hung up.
Look at you. Did you guys exchange numbers now that you're
I didn't.
There it is.
I didn't. How would one go about that? hey, let me hit you up next time you're in Boston. We can go get some Chipotle.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that either. Yeah, it's very awkward.
Gotta play cool until the next time I see him.
You know what's the only thing more awkward than that is then when you can tell a very famous person, like when you've been hitting it off with them, mm-hmm. and they sort of don't know how to just be like, well, it was nice like hanging with you. They want to feel like this is a relationship that could keep going.
Yeah.
So they give you their number. And then it's like, do you wait? Yes.
What do you
do I wait? Do I wait until something like interesting happens? This actually recently happened to me this summer.
Can you give names?
I don't want to say her name.
No, that's fine.
Very famous.
A-list? Celebrity or excuse me, singer or actress or?
None of the above. Just incredible. Just put it this way. One of the more synonymous people in the world based on a relationship. And
Kim
I met
Kardashian?
This person and we hit it off. No, not a Kardashian. And it was, she's like, get my number. Oh my God, we have to talk. Like, you're the best. Like, da, 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 da. And then something like happened maybe like a month later. And I was like, you know, this is all on vacation.
Yeah.
So I text the person like, that's amazing that you did that. Da, da, da. Crickets. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm ever going to reach out to this person again. Right.
Okay.
So it's like having these numbers is one thing.
Cool.
But never knowing what to do with that
Correct.
Number is a whole other thing.
Correct. The immediate thing that it's a benefit of is when somebody's like, who's the most famous person in your phone? Like, you have a cool answer to that, clearly. I don't.
I do.
I don't. Can I ask
But it's
you?
Definitely not their number
who's your
anymore.
Most famous person?
I don't. I mean, they're not in here anymore. Maybe probably that person.
Okay, well, since
and
you
then,
can't name that person, who is it?
Well, Jamie Foxx.
Oh, that's tight.
Yeah.
Big SportsCenter Snapchat guy.
Yeah.
I could have probably got Jamie Foxx's phone number.
Jay Foxx is cool, man.
I should
Jamie
have asked
Foxx
for it.
Jamie Foxx is cool. He's a cool guy.
Like, he's cool to just, like,
so
chat
chill.
With?
Like, he's a cool dude. Some circles, like, came yeah. across Jamie a few times back in my days in Atlanta. You know,
yeah.
I was doing hip-hop radio and whatnot. Just the nicest guy. And, like, one of those guys that remembers you. I met Jamie a couple of times. Didn't see him for a couple of years. And he like remembered me. And this man
awesome.
Meets everybody, right?
Yeah.
And not in like a creepy, like, I remember you way.
No,
like,
no,
in
no.
A, he was like, El, did you lose weight? And I had recently lost like 20 pounds. I was like, I did. He
Hell
was
yeah,
like,
Jamie.
Yeah, I was like, you remember that?
Hell
he was
yeah,
like, yeah,
Jamie.
Man. Awesome guy, like super nice guy.
It's not that I forget, but sometimes, well, yeah, I guess I forget that like so many people watch SportsCenter. Like, I went to Sean McDonough's event and Chuck was like, man, I'm loving what you and Randy are doing. Y'all are so funny. Keep it up. I'm like, damn, Chuck really be watching.
Yeah.
So every single time we have like a graphic, somebody passed Charles Barkley. I'm like, Charles Barkley probably watching right now. Chuck, I'm just reading the graphic. You know what I'm saying? If it's
Love
like
you,
somebody,
Chuck.
If it's somebody who passed
sure.
Charles Barkley in something, I'm like, don't be mad at me. I'm just reading the graphic.
You're like, Chuck, I love you. Chuck does definitely watches.
Yeah.
He would sometimes confuse me with Tony Collins, though. He would text me and be like, you shouldn't have said that. I'm like, I am not on air. So what, Chuck?
He's like,
by the
way, Duolingo?
One of the most generous superstars.
Oh, truly.
That man is a generous man.
Truly.
He is a good guy.
Truly.
Love Charles Barkley. Stan him. So yeah, so now that we have bragged about...
Yeah. Not a brag, because I'm super nervous about, like, I don't know what to do when I'm around, like, these people other than to just, like, because I was with, you know, our production crew, and they're like, what did you do then? I was like, what do you mean, what did I do? I said, peace out, and I'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'll catch you back out at Easton Boston, or whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll catch you at the next event. And
yeah.
that's what, it's a long play with people like that.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. What is your play?
Long play is the right word.
You want to open up a
Wahlburgers
in Connecticut?
Like, you need like a strong Asian male lead in a
okay.
movie that you are directing? Like, are you?
I'm that one.
Because or a Polish male lead. Okay, because I'm him. I can be that guy.
You could play Gronk in the adaptation of
Ski.
The Patriots movie.
It's just Ski.
All right, so we're gonna take the rest of the week off. We're gonna take a Turkey Day hiatus because
okay.
we're gonna be watching the foosball,
That's
just
right.
like y'all watching America's
we're
team.
We're gonna be cheering for the Lions.
Watching the Lions and Tigers and Bears. Oh my!
Yep.
And so we will see you next week. Would you like to give one thing that you are grateful for? By the way, for all the parents out there that try to do some adorable, cute little thing, where for the last couple of weeks they—I don't know—I'm just throwing this out here—created a fake turkey that their children could write feathers of gratitude on and then tape to the turkey, and their children keep saying things like, I'm grateful for my Super Mario doll. I'm grateful for cheese. I'm grateful for my toys, instead of real things to be grateful for. I can relate.
Damn.
I feel like I'm failing as a parent. I'm like, what are we grateful for, kids? I mean, just anything that's of substance. And they're just like, I'm grateful for this grape.
That's love.
It's unreal. What are you grateful for? And it better be good.
I am, well, I'm grateful to have this platform.
Oh, God. Never mind.
Oh, okay, never mind.
I'm just so grateful to be able to spend an hour twice a week with my friend Gary.
Yeah.
Who makes me so happy.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Was that what you were
going to
say?
Well, I am grateful for that because I was at F1 uh-huh. and a lot of the ESPN brass was out there and they don't want to talk about SportsCenter. Well, of course, you know, shout out to that. They don't want to talk about the F1 digital show. What do they want to talk about? Oh my gosh. I love the L. Duncan show. When's your name going to be on the graphic? Oh, you guys are so funny. Oh, it's such a good listen. I think we give people a nice little 30, 45 minute break, except that one guy in the YouTube comments who was like, get Gary off the show. I commented back. I was like, why? What did I do? What the hell, man?
I don't want to talk to myself.
Friends
I do that
Wahlberg.
Enough.
What yeah. the hell, man?
He's Mark Wahlberg's friend. Well, listen, we are very grateful, in all seriousness, to everybody that's been riding with the show,
definitely.
That retweeted, that follows along on social media. Do us a favor, though. Tell somebody.
That'd be awesome.
Tell somebody. I used to be a service worker, and I think that it's something like, if you have an unpleasant experience, you tell like 6 or 7 people. Uh-huh. If you have a pleasant experience, you tell 1 or 2. That feels backwards. So if you enjoy the show and you like it, we love you.
Yes.
You know, subscribe, tell somebody, recommend it to someone. You guys are going to be doing lots of driving on the holidays. We're real palatable. We go great with gravy.
That's
you
fact.
Can stuff us quite literally wherever yep. in your day.
Better take a cold shower.
I was just about to say that. God, I love you. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.